capacities, you know, to telepath messages through the vast unknown. Please close your eyes and concentrate with every thought you think upon the recitation we're about to sing. Of interplanetary craft, calling occupants of interplanetary most extraordinary craft.
What you are listening to now is a little-known group from the 1970s called Klaatu, and the opening track to their debut album, Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft, or Calling Occupants for short. At the time of this album's release in 1976, Klaatu was a complete mystery group. All of their original songs on their first two records were cryptically credited to one Klaatu, and there are no photos of the band in the sleeves. Groups like this one often fell into obscurity, but thanks to the overactive imagination of some journalists, the album was taken just one step enough into the limelight to spark a brief Klaatu craze. Beneath the gorgeous album cover, the music was likewise truly remarkable, with intricate orchestral arrangements, melodic bass lines, a unique blend of psychedelic and progressive rock influences, and a variety of themes ranging from aliens and space travel to the sinking California theory, the construction of the first New York subway, and whatever Sir Bodsworth Rugglesby the third is. But now, one question remained, like a pesky mouse refusing to be caught. Who was this group? Were they the Beatles reunited in secret, as some like to claim? Or were they just, I don't know, three Canadians in a spacesuit? Well, we'll get to the answer soon. For now, though, you're listening to KHDX 93.1 FM in Conway, Arkansas, and welcome to the second Sugar Dove Record Deep Dive. We're so glad you're here. But no. I'm really excited to show y'all Klaatu's second album, simply titled Hope. And as you may know, during Vinylthon last year, I spun my own copy of their aforementioned debut album, 347 EST. For the sake of time, though, I will be playing everything you hear tonight off of Spotify, so I do apologize. I own the record, but I don't know how well it might come over the air, given how my last one went. But guys, this album, this is the album. I was still pretty new to older music and all that when I first listened to the Klaatu discography front to back, but when I heard this album, and the last song in particular, I got so many chills, and the chills just kept coming back each time that I listened to it, like, again and again. It's an incredible piece of musical storytelling, starting off with the hope of young adventurers before descending into the violent consequences of extreme nationalism and the soul-crushing pain of total isolation, to finally ending with hope again, a more abstract but deep hope for a brighter future. The album cover, painted by the brilliant Ted Jones, depicts hope as a lighthouse keeper's beam in the far distance from the ruins of a nation on a strange distant planet. At the bottom of the cover, you can see the image of the sun from Klaatu's first album in faded yellow paint on the cracked concrete. This place was once a powerful country called Politzania, now no more. But in the interest of time, let's just put away the story and start the record already. Since this is a concept album that is best listened to all the way through, I'm going to let the first three songs play uninterrupted and completely pause the music each time I do my commentary. Although our main journey into the cosmos sort of begins with the third song, the playfully named Around the Universe in 80 Days, we enter the album with a seafaring song called We're Off You Know. These two are separated by the heavier track Madman, but without any further ado, let's take off. Keep an ear out for another Klaatu motif in the small form of a little mouse at the very start. Here's Klaatu with Hope.
Distant land, and the only ones allowed to come are those who feel they can go right along with the master plan. And the only thing you got to bring is sitting there in your head.
Is there all? Well, that's all.
Well, that's all. Well, that's all.
So raise the sails and trim all the sheets. Set
your fortunes be cast to the wind.
take us where we're going. A subspace machine.
And that, my friends, was the first three songs off of Klaatu's Hope from 1977. Now, if you thought that was moving and maybe a little bit strange and out of this world, if you don't mind me saying, you just wait until side B of this album. It gets pretty crazy, but in the meantime, this is the part of the record deep dive where I sort of give some extra historical background, sort of off the cuff, and commentary on each of the songs that we just heard. So, my dad told me to mention this. The name of the group, Klaatu, very strange name, but it comes from a very old movie called The Day the Earth Stood Still, sort of one of the big, famous first sci-fi films. And you're going to hear, especially as we get into the next side, a lot of really intricate orchestration. This was sort of Klaatu at their big progressive rock peak, you could say. And interestingly, The orchestration on this particular album was supplied by the London Symphony Orchestra. That's right. A very rare and unusual opportunity for a group so new and still relatively unknown at the time. But if you don't believe me that this album is good, just take the amount of awards that it won. For example, the Juno Award for Best Engineered Album and Canadian Music Critics Award for Best Album of 1977. But much later in 2005, an alternate version of the album was released as a part of Klaatu's Sunset Collection, and it has a lot of interesting little changes from the final 1977 release. I'm going to mention it again later at some point, but yeah, I guess just take a mental note of it. But now, without any further ado, let's get into the songs that we just heard. Some of my thoughts, my comments. The first song, I love it. It's such a great opener, and I love that slow build at the very start. We're Off, You Know is definitely the most Beatles-esque song on this album. I can definitely hear the comparison, and it's also sort of the most normal, I guess you could say, with the super fun and catchy chorus and, you know, seafaring vibe. I always like to imagine just this little group of mouse musketeers getting on a boat, getting ready for adventure, having like a little crow's nest made of a match or something. But yeah, it's a very cute song. I really love the little clarinet solo at the end. There's just so much to enjoy here. But the next song, Madman, is sort of a black sheep on the record. For one, it's this unusual hard rocker that sort of comes out of nowhere right after the last song we heard. And it's also confusing for me, at least. I struggle to figure out where exactly it fits into the album's story. Who is the madman? Is it someone on this voyage? Someone else? Are we the madman? Is there a madman in every one of us? Maybe the madman was the friends we made along the way. I don't know. But this song is just very cool and just very disorienting. I'm a little sad that I have to play everything in mono through the radio because of some technical issues that will happen if I don't. But the guitar solo in the middle there has this really cool effect where it shifts from one ear to another, just sort of at random. And it's just very disorienting, and it really does make you feel like you're the madman. But now, those vocals, different from the last song, and he only sings two songs on this album, which were Madman and Around the Universe in 80 Days, which I'm about to talk about. Dee Long, the lead guitarist of the group, he has a very hypnotic sort of voice, and the song starts off very angelic. So the way I always have like interpreted it was like Lucifer like talking to humanity, like, look at all the destruction you caused and look at where it got you, which is nowhere. I don't know, that's just sort of how I interpret it, but you're free to make your own judgment, I guess. But now, let's talk about that next song that he also sings on, Around the Universe in 80 Days. Of course, a play on Around the World in 80 Days. It has this beautiful piano intro that just builds and builds into this awesome, immersive rock opera. And, of course, it's the beginning of a space adventure, you know, the usual story. But it's also sort of ambiguous exactly when it's set, like, who these people are. For one, near the end of the song, they say that our planet is the second from the sun. So Venus? These people are from Venus. How does that work? But yeah, I love the song, and maybe the speaking moments in it seem a little silly and dated in 2026, but I just love hearing bands nerd out with their songs, and like, the band's like nerding out with all these sci-fi theme songs, and what more could you ask for a concept album? I think we all need to be a little more nerdy. But yeah, that was the first three songs. We're starting off strong. But now this next song is where it does get a little bit weird, maybe a little bit of an acquired taste, might I say, because this next one is also the longest one, at a whopping 9 minutes long. And it's called Long Live Politzania. I'm going to talk after this one as well. But yeah, you're going to finally hear about that nation that fell apart. I'm not going to spoil too much, but yeah, we're just going to start on it. It's the last song on side A. Without any further ado, here's Klaatu with Long Live Politzania as we continue through their 1977 album, Hope.
no legacy remains, except her crumbling ruins on which these words were found engraved.
Those citizens who questioned, those suspect harbors of doubt, were brought before a panel of the Ministry of Health. They were tested and accepted a grant to render quite insane when in a car.
Yeah. fight our foes, for we are right, and God.
Wow. So what a song. What a piece. What a thing that exists in the world. It's out there. It's big. It's cinematic. It's unapologetic. I just love it. In this song, we hear this sort of little old man archaeologist who must surely have the white mustache of a West Highland white terrier walking us through the history of this country, Polytxania, whose lofty ideas of themselves as a superior race and literal widespread lobotomization of suspected traitors, hello, led to their downfall. Who would have thunk it? But also throughout the song, we see that other side. Those who fought for Polytxania and cried, "Long live Polytxania," thinking of themselves as the hero of the story that entire time, never suspecting their ideas as wrong, always thinking that they were on the right side of history. And to leave this Nessa no further than their own national anthem, "We'll smite our foes, for we are right and God is on our side." Finishing off with "We're the masters of the world," no less. They're truly brainwashed, and yet somehow this country is not as unrealistic as you might think. But I'll hold myself back there. The orchestration on this song is just truly incredible, and near the end, you've definitely heard that sort of interesting combination of real and synthetic instruments, giving the song this very unearthly, out-of-this-world feel. And I've heard a lot of people interpret this song and the country of Polytxania as actually being on a different planet, somewhere far in the future. In a galaxy a long time ago, or wait, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, you might even say. But now, how's "Long Live Polytxania"? What did you think? Did you like it? You might need to listen to it a few more times to get into it. And maybe you never will. But hey, I can only lead a horse to water. I can't make it drink. And yeah, I personally love it. I think it's such an interesting experience. And it really gets my imagination going. But now, we're going to move on to side B of the song, or side B of the album. And I just realized I am missing a song on the playlist. Or, no, I'm not. Okay, we got it on there. Never mind. We're going to move on to side B of the album. And it starts with the song, The Loneliest of Creatures. And the way I've always interpreted this part is that we had that sort of space voyage, but at some point there is an accident that caused all of the crew but one to die off. And this last surviving crew member sits in desolation, thinking about how they feel like the loneliest of all creatures. And that's sort of basically all the song's about. But it's a good song, and I think it really opens side two beautifully. And I was sitting here struggling to figure out when I should talk during side B, because it really is continuous. So I might have to interrupt between prelude and So Said the Lighthouse Keeper, which I apologize for. It's not going to be a bad interruption. It does kind of quiet down a little bit there. But now, without any further ado, let's listen to side B of Klaatu's Hope. It's going to be great. And I'll see you soon.
Sometimes I feel like I'm the loneliest of all creatures in the universe. Someone lonelier than me, but I can't believe this there could be much deeper. When I'm as lonely as a man can be.
Oh no.
Is he?
But
Okay, wasn't that so cool? Okay, I'm already getting chills again. It's been like so long since I last had that happen to me. But now, before we get into that, you're listening to KHDX 93.1 FM in Conway, Arkansas, and we're doing the record deep dive with Klaatu's Hope. And we might be going a bit over time, but that's okay. You just heard two songs from Side B, the first of which was The Loneliest of All Creatures. Just like the first song on Side A, we sort of see a return of that sea fairy feel with the wave-like building clarinet intro and the oh no chanting. It makes me think of being on a ship. And we have these sad, pain lyrics and beautiful, soft vocals that are contrasted a bit comedically, I will say, with the interruption of the choir, who I somewhat morbidly interpret to be the ghost of his crew, repeatedly telling him, no, you're not the loneliest of all creatures. It's actually the lighthouse keeper of Polyxena, and ultimately who doesn't feel like they're the loneliest of all creatures in the universe at times. At the end, we hear this sea of voices slowly rise, all lamenting that same sentiment. Sometimes I feel like I'm the loneliest of all creatures in the universe. We've all felt that way. But now, onto that lighthouse keeper. We have the song just simply titled Prelude, with no vocals to speak of, just that amazing orchestration from the London Symphony Orchestra. And dear Dr. Renshaw, can we please perform a song with an electric guitar in it? It just sounds so cool. It doesn't have to be this song, although that would be awesome too. But now this song, Prelude, it really, really excites the imagination when I listen to it. It has everything: pursuit, escape, heartache, terror, and finally, at the very end, complete and utter hopelessness. I personally always picture this song as the lighthouse keeper's origin story, so to speak, trying to escape the Polyxenian military to a tiny secluded islet off the coast with an abandoned lighthouse on its highest peak. His family tragically doesn't make it, and he's forced to live out the rest of his days alone in the lighthouse to become wise, to think about the mysteries of the universe and what it all means. But now, we're going to hear the voice of that lighthouse keeper near his final days with this next song, So Said the Lighthouse Keeper. And we're also going to hear another song in between that and the last song called Epilogue, which was from The Sunset that I mentioned previously. It was a song that was cut from the album, but is nevertheless included on the lyrics sheet for some reason. But it's a very short 40-second song. You won't miss it. But yeah, without any further ado, let's close off this album.
Indeed, I am an habit after man. For having witnessed mass destruction like you never dreamed and were, I fear I shall bear witness once again.
So said the lighthouse keeper as he struggled up the spiral stairs which led him to the laser flare which scanned the cosmic void, where keeping constant vigil he forewarned his gallant guard of gods. Beware all ships, the space graveyard and its stone. So said the lighthouse keeper as he wiped a teardrop from his nose, upon which his spectacles rose and gazed out to the stars. And like a portrait, still he stared and sighing to himself declared, I must invent the perfect prayer, not yours, not mine.
When to his end the old man came, death told him, you'll not die in vain. And on his lips the fatal kiss was placed. But from within his falling chest, the old man uttered one last breath. And had we heard his parting word, we'd know that he had said. Hope is like a lighthouse keeper's beam. Hope, the master carpenter of our dreams. For hope believes in desert streams, the mightiest of stars, the microcosm in a jar, vast or small, they all revolve on hope. The guardian angel of
If one abandons hope.
And that, my friends, was Klaatu's Hope, one of my favorite albums of all time, and I hope now you know why, or maybe you've lost all respect for me. Either way, I'd love to thank you all so much for tuning in and listening to this entire journey with me. We're going to start off with the first song that we just heard, So Said the Lighthouse Keeper. This is definitely sort of the most traditionally prog rock song on the album. And it follows the so tragic story of this old man, the last of his kind, truly the greatest contender for the loneliest of all creatures in the universe. This song rises and falls just with amazing power as the lighthouse keeper sends out a dire warning that could very well reach nobody. Truly, he is the furthest from hope, and yet when asked at the end of his life to come up with one philosophy, one simple single phrase to bring peace to the universe, he lets out one word with his last breath: hope. And that short song in the middle that I mentioned before was called Epilogue, and you can kind of see now why I included it, just for sort of story and context reasons. It's the last word that he lets out on his deathbed, and that's just kind of depressing and just beautiful and poetic. And that last song, Hope, the title track, I think, is the band's magnum opus, truly, and just one of my favorite songs of all time. The lyrics are gorgeous and moving, building up to this just incredibly powerful middle section that was the one part in this album that I always point to when I say that this album gives me chills. It's that part in particular, and it would even give me chills while I was playing it as one of the first ever songs that I learned on my bass guitar. It has amazing bass line, and the whole song is just so beautiful, and it finally ends with a reprise of We're Off, You Know. Just sort of kind of an ambiguous ending in a way. I guess the adventure still goes on somewhere, and as long as there's hope, there's always going to be people going out, starting something new. And yeah, without any further ado, what happened to Klaatu? Well, spoiler alert, it did end up being three Canadians in a spacesuit, too, spacesuit included. Nevertheless, even after it was sort of revealed through, I think it was like the copyright files or something, that they weren't the Beatles, although I probably didn't need to tell you that, they'd go on to release three more albums. Their third album, Sir Army Suit, was the first to include their actual names in the credits, and it even had a sort of artistic representation of them on the back cover. But it took more of a poppier turn with many of the songs. It would be nothing compared to their fourth album in 1980, Endangered Species, which is also unfortunately considered to be sort of their sellout album, sort of forced upon them by the record label, unwillingly, if you can't tell by the song Sellout, that's on there. give it a listen sometime. But I personally still enjoy this album, and one of my favorites is then their last album, Magentalane, which unfortunately only released in Canada for some reason. sort of aiding to their eventual fall into obscurity once more. The band disappeared as soon as they arrived, flying off into their spaceship, leaving no trace but a crop circle, maybe. But starting in the 1990s, their drummer Terry Draper would return to the music scene with the album Light Years Later, which was also worked upon by the other two members, John Willishuck and D-Lon. He kept the music going with a truly impressive consistency all the way up until 2025, when he unfortunately passed away in May. And so I thought, just like our last record deep dive that we have, I would close off with a solo track by one of the musicians from the band. This song comes from his 2010 album, is the title track, and it is also sort of a space sci-fi song that I thought kind of was similar to the album that we just heard. Although it does end a bit more hopeless, you could say, with a spaceman stranded on a planet and never getting off, never getting saved, as hard as he tried. And just sort of ending ambiguously like that as well. But now, you're listening to KHDX 93.1 FM in Conway, Arkansas. I want to thank everyone who tuned in to the Record Deep Dive. I would like to thank my dad and my mom, the Sugar Dove fans, and makers sure of the technical difficulties and whatnot. And I hope you all have a good coming week. It is getting a little bit cold again, but hopefully it'll get warm again soon. I'm really looking forward to the warm weather. And just the same, let us feel hope and the sunrise in our minds, because to give hope is to enlighten all mankind. This is Disco Dan from Sugar Dove. And now, closing us out, is Terry Draper with Stranded. And I hope you have a nice night.
A stranger place I've never been, of all the ones I've seen. A sea of sand before my eyes, it comes as no surprise. Stranded, I have sent an SOS years ago, but nonetheless, I'm stranded. I have been alone before, but not like this, I'm sure. Across an unfamiliar sky, no ocean here, there's only land.
I've sunk in a sea of sand, stranded. This purple place is so remote. Who'll find the capsule with my note? I'm stranded. I have been alone before, but not like this, I'm sure. They did not see my sandy note, the giant letters that I wrote. Stranded.